Anyhow, you asked questions about broadcasting councils before, and I will give you a mixed account of personal experiences and what I read and have written about broadcasting councils. First of all, the personal experience, I've been on the council for 7 years of Deutsche Welle, the international broadcaster that you know here. It's on the hotel service where I stay in Kiev. And how did I get into that? Well, in the 1990s, I was an expert in media policy issues for the Greens Party, one of our small parties, and this party moved into government in 1998. And as they are the kind of upcoming alternative party, they had complained for a long time that top politicians were going into the broadcasting councils instead of regular citizens. And now they had the right to fill one of the seats in the council. And so they asked me, knowing that I'm not a member of that party, just sympathizing, because I'm riding a bicycle in Hamburg, I probably shouldn't do this here in Kiev, and the best protector for us bicycle riders is the Greens Party, anyhow. So I ended up in the Broadcasting Council of Deutsche Welle, as you have already learned. There are 17 members, and first impression, of course, was they are sitting top people. This is a club of honorable Germans. Like I was sitting next to a minister of developmental affairs, there were state secretaries, but also top representatives of many different organizations, and I will come back to that later. Now, first of all, how did it all start with the broadcasting councils? By the way, I should say that in Mr. Koop's announcement, the word board is used. But the most common translation is council, broadcasting council. Well, as I said before, we did not invent public service broadcasting. In fact, it was an import by the occupation powers in 45. But what we contributed in Germany to that principle is, in fact, the broadcasting council. How did that happen? Well, we had one person in the 1920s, before the Nazi dictatorship, one person who was the top director of our radio structure. And that was Hans Bredow, a man who sometimes calls himself the father of German radio, but it is probably right. He was director until 1933, and then he was ousted by the Nazis on the day of the seizure of power by the Nazis. So he was an absolutely clean person, never associated himself with the Nazis. He survived in the country, and after 45, he was a reliable voice because he was not a Democrat. He was an engineer and administrator, but at least he was cleared of any Nazi sympathies. He wrote a report in 1947, and proposed that on top of the future public broadcasters, there should be representatives of central organizations and experts. And he described it as a way in which the audience could become a broadcasting stakeholder in order to create real public broadcasting. He mentioned the parliament as a model for this. He mentioned also the board of stock companies as a model on how to introduce that. And in fact, much of our public service structure we got from the occupation forces, but they accepted the idea of broadcasting councils. And they were introduced during those years after 1947 everywhere, and they are still active today. So not much has changed, and these councils are now an established part of the public system, and you will see later that I feel that they should be reformed and strengthened, but I first describe how they work today. All public broadcasters have such a broadcasting council, and the central function is First of all, to elect the general director, in German, Intendant. And secondly, they decide about basic principles like the financing and like general program guidelines. Some of our public broadcasters, in addition, you already talked about that, have administrative councils like Deutsche Welle, but not every of them. If they have an administrative council, it is smaller and it is responsible for current business, current decisions. Here I give two examples, but you have seen them before. The largest and the smallest broadcasting council in the country, the second German television, has 77 members. It's really like a small parliament in size. And here you see where they come from. It is especially politicized, and 16 come from the 16 federal states of the Federal Republic, 12 come from political parties, 3 from the federal state that is, from the federation that is from the central level, from Berlin. And 46 are from those famous socially relevant groups. Now, by 46 representatives, this means they come from all segments of society, trade unions, trade associations, churches, sports, culture, local communities, even some obscure organizations like refugees from Eastern Europe, and so on. Altogether, 46. Now, this does not mean that these 46 are independent. It's just they are sent by non-governmental organizations one way or the other. And often, these organizations of society have close links to the major parties. Yeah? So we have a long tradition of somehow political links, the Catholic Church with the Conservative Christian Party, the Protestant Church with the Social Democrats, of course the trade unions with the Social Democrats, the trade association, the employers with the Conservative Party, and so on. Again, Deutsche Welle, as you heard already, 17 members, the smallest board, 7 political appointments. I was one of the 7, and I'm certainly not very political, and 10 socially relevant groups. For example, Deutsche Welle, there would be representatives that have something to do with the international standing of Germany. So a professor represented the Association for German Language, because one of the functions is to provide support for the German language in the rest of the world. So, I mean, the councils also reflect somehow the functions of the respective organization. If you ask what the effect is of sending these people into a council, of course you realize there are no experts, no professionals. They are just regular representatives of the society. And many have said the principle sounds good, but the fact is that a large minority are somehow amateurs, are lay people who are not really well familiar with media policy questions. And as you can see, they are lay people, meaning no expertise in that body. Now, the general director and the leadership of the public broadcasters like that because they know there is no counterpart in the Broadcasting Council who can really estimate what they are doing, who can really control them. So the broadcasting organizations, they somehow treat this council like a club of honorary members. Yeah. I remember before our council met, we had a nice lunch. We were kind of tired from the lunch. And then we had a time window of 2 hours, only 4 times a year with a regular meeting. Yeah. And so they quickly presented the achievements of Deutsche Welle, and then they sent us home. That's at least how they wanted to have it. Of course, we in the Broadcasting Council felt that this is not enough. When I entered the council, two committees had been established, one for radio and one for television. But as I said, I came in 1999, so I asked about online activities. And the people from the radio committee said, oh, the television people do that. And I asked the television people, and said, oh, the radio people are responsible for that. So at that time, the online activities, and Deutsche Welle had a website since 1997, the online activities were not even recognized in the council. So I regularly asked in the council, what about your online activities? And finally, the chairman said, okay, I understand. We establish a third committee, online committee, and you will be the chairman. And in 2 minutes, we had a third committee, and I was responsible for online activities, which I liked very much, because it was really a build-up in the organization. I should also say, the chairman of my broadcasting council, he was from the Protestant church. Of course, he was also a social democrat, but he was socialized in the Protestant church. That is, he was very much able to lead that council in a church community-like way. In fact, he made a little church service out of that. It was very slow, not confrontational. You know, we are all from the same denomination. And in fact, his leadership style was very, very church-like. But at least it worked quite well, I have to say. Next point is the political side of these councils. I have to say Deutsche Welle was never very politicized. The most politicized council is that of ZDF. As you have seen, high share of politicians in there, and especially also in the administrative council. Before the television council of ZDF meets, they have separate meetings, what they call circle of friends. So there's a red circle, these are the social democrats, and a black circle, that are the conservatives. And even if you are from one of these socially relevant groups, yeah, if you want to know what's going on, you better participate in one of these groups. At times there was also a gray group for really independent people, but it was so small that finally most people go to one of two circles and they're being informed very well, but of course it means polarization. But at the same time, as I pointed out before, in a balanced way, it's always the two major parties, the two major currents in the country that are presented here. Manfred Kops has talked about civil society in media, politics, and with those socially relevant groups, of course, this is a strong civil society element in the council. And if you look for a model, as we develop that in political science, it probably is a governance model. Governance describes a system in which representatives of politics, of the economy, and civil society sit together and decide upon politics. Not just government, but representatives of the three groups that you have identified in your triangle. You could also somehow compare it with the round table principle. You remember when the Soviet Empire crumbled down in many Central Eastern European countries, also in East Germany, you had round tables. Whoever had to represent some current in society was sitting together with others, and they tried to negotiate compromises. This more or less you will also find in these councils. So confrontations are the exception. It's always a way to find compromises. I'm now going to start to talk about reform, because everything sounds great, But these broadcasting councils have come at age, and they haven't changed much during the last 50, 60 years. And now I give a few examples, and perhaps you have an interest in finding a similar institution in your country, so my proposal would be do it in a modernized way. My first proposal would be that these councils have to meet in the open so that everybody can go and listen what is happening there. In fact, all these councils, with one exception, they're meeting in secret, and no public is allowed. Today, this would also mean that the meetings should be streamed in internet, and that all the accompanying material, the agenda and so on, should be published on the internet, possibly on a separate website. Also, I think the working should be much more in transparency. That is, the broadcaster should open the files so that the public can be informed of what they plan, on how they handle their financing, and so on. For a few years now, we have what we call freedom of information legislation in Germany. That's a requirement by the European Commission, and it means that files of public organizations have to be presented to whoever is asking for these files. So they have to be made public. Believe it or not, the German public broadcasters are exempted from this regulation, and up to today, they don't really have to inform about many things that they are doing. So, next demand is freedom of information legislation. That is, they have to open their files whenever citizens want to know what's going on. The BBC, for example, is practicing this for years. And when I looked last at their website, there was a question presented, how many employees of the BBC earn more than £100,000? And in fact, you could see, I think these were 13, not too many really, but you could get substantial information out of that organization. Would not be possible in Germany today, so this is another demand for reform. The next point, the Broadcasting Council traditionally is administered out of the office of the General Director, which means the General Director has pretty much total control over the activities of the Council. Formally, the Council is headed by its chairman, but when the General Director wants to present something, applaud his own organization, he can do so. I demand that the Council should have an independent management, a separate secretary office, that it should have independent financial sources, and that it should have the capacity to conduct independent inquiries, so to look into possible scandals in the organization. Again, I have to tell you our understanding of democracy. Our politicians, our top managers, are not at all cleaner than your politicians. We always are conspicuous that they're doing something dirty, but we have developed a number of mechanisms to control them better. And for me, it is not enough, so I developed further control mechanisms to make sure that those who are responsible, who handle money, who decide about programming, that they are very well controlled and that we know what they are doing. Also, the activities of the Council should be presented on a separate website. Complaints. There is no organization without complaints. And advanced public broadcasters like the BBC really have very structured complaint mechanisms. That is, you don't like something, information is not precise, it is biased, whatever. And some of the public broadcasting organizations also in Scandinavia, they say, okay, here is the place for complaints. You present your complaint. If it is based, we then see that we change the whole thing. What has been well working in this respect is an ombudsman structure. This is a Scandinavian idea, and it means that not every complaint is really treated in the organization. Also, sometimes a lot of complaints come together. They can be bundled. Yeah? The ombudsman, who should be a senior journalist who knows very well how such an organization works, the ombudsman should then select the really heavy complaints that might go into the direction of scandals and then present this to the organization. If the organization cannot give meaningful answers, this might go to the Broadcasting Council, and the council might judge and really say, hey, you have to stop this. This is not what public service makes up. So, again, complaint structure. I come to the end. The system of broadcasting councils, it sounds like it is very secure and nobody dares to attack it. But in fact, we always have politicians who want to possibly not get rid of these councils, but keep them under control. Also, the public broadcasters, they sometimes feel it's a pain in the ass and they want to kind of, you know, keep the club character of the councils, but not with substantial power. What I recommended, of course, increases the importance and power of the council, but you can be sure that there are immediately people who say, forget it, the way it works is fine, no more power for the councils. So my argument is in strengthening civil society representatives. I also argue that we should find mechanisms to send more professionals and people who are experienced in journalism into the body. As I said, many are amateurs. They don't really know how the whole thing works. Yeah? And we should also coach those who go into the councils. That is, experienced members of the council should tell the newcomers how the whole thing works, so that at the very beginning they understand the very special working style of the council. So my proposal is for coaching. I've offered myself for that, but very few so far have been interested. The feeling is that if you follow these proposals, there will be a stronger position for civil society. I recommend that, I greet this, and I hope in the future we have a chance to go into this direction. What I said you also find in an article that I published last year. There is a conference each year in Europe that is concentrating on public service broadcasting. It's by the RIPE organization, and these are the proceedings of the RIPE conference of 2008, and I published that recently. So here you have the source. Thank you very much.